It's always a great pleasure to be with y'all here at Cool Springs Church. Love you all very much. I love your pastor and his family. I've always walked away from this place feeling like I've been in the house of the Lord. And there are two things I can say about a church that I think is two of the best things you can say, that you feel the presence of the Lord amongst the people and you feel at home. And I can say this about Cool Springs and Irwinville Church as well. I felt the Spirit there. I feel right at home. I'm still going to have my company manners, so don't worry about that. But I pray that the Lord will bless us. We've already been in church. Church is continuing right now. It may end right now. But we can say that we have walked with God today. I've greatly enjoyed the song service. Very much appreciate the prayer of our beloved Brother Rick. I pray that the Lord will be with me, and we'll find out real soon. If not, I have absolutely no problem in sitting down if the Lord is not with us. I was preaching a sermon, this summer, and I thought the Lord blessed the sermon. I give the Lord glory. Good friend of mine, a good minister, one that well-respected man that we all know. We all know him. Elder Sonny Huckabee came up to me, and he says, "I want to say this about you, Brother David." And I got somewhat worried, but he said, "One thing I like about you is that you're transparent." I said, "Well, thank you very much, Brother Sonny. I appreciate that." Shook his hand. He went one way, I went the other, and I went outside, and I thought, well, what in the world did he just say? And he said he liked it, so it must have been a good thing, but kind of didn't sound like it was a good thing. I mean, I know what transparent means, but it didn't sound like something you want to be, right? I had to go back and say, Sonny, what did you mean? He said, "I was waiting for this." I said, I'm waiting. He said, "Well, you just yourself. You don't hide anything. You let people know what you're going through." And I didn't really know that I did that. It's not a concerted effort on my part. Not trying to get sympathy. The older I get, though, I guess the more I realize I'm not going to change the world. Everything that I set out to do either just kind of blew up in my face or I blew it up myself. Life didn't go according to the script that I wrote. And where I thought I'd be at this point in my life is a lot years ahead of where I am now. And I realize that old scripture. Except the Lord build the city, except the Lord build a house, they labor but in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. If it's not up to the Lord, then it's not any good at all. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The best way is always the Lord's way, even if it's against what we want. Scripture says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And all other things that we generally seek after will be added unto us. Food, raiment, shelter. The Lord will provide us with the things that we need. And we ought to want the things that the Lord provides for us. There shouldn't be any disconnect between what we want and what the Lord would will for us. But you've got to learn that. You've got to go through life. Now that I'm 56 years old, I guess I'm old enough to finally realize it. So my ministry is just starting out, having been ordained almost 30 years. It's funny how it is. And I thought about, well, Brother Sonny, one of my best friends, one of my favorite preachers. Brother Sonny said, "You're transparent." He liked that. I guess I need to keep being that way so Brother Sonny will like me. Right? No. Is that how we ought to be? I mean, is that a good attribute? The minister said that to me after I preached. He didn't say it was a good sermon. He didn't like the scriptures that I was. He didn't go on to these great interpretations that I had and just all these wonderful truths and et cetera, et cetera. He just said, "I like you. You're transparent." Thank you. Now, what do you mean? Then he told me. Is it a biblical thing? Because there are people that like things that aren't in the Bible. Some people want to hear that we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and that's when we get born again. That's called gospel regeneration. Some people want to hear that. Some people like it, but it's not in the Scriptures. Some people want to hear, well, you have to be baptized. You believe in baptismal regeneration, and that's not in the Scriptures. Some people like to hear extreme perseverance. Unless you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's proof that you're saved. And if you never accept Him, that's proof you're not saved. And if you backslide and never come back, that's proof you're not saved. That's not in the Bible. Some people believe the bullet and hole doctrine. That means, you know, when you believe, that's when you're born again. They happen simultaneously. Those are crazy, weird doctrines. I've got a million of them. People like, they're not in the Bible. And there are some things that people don't like that are in the Bible. Some people don't like the doctrine of election. That's in the Bible, though. Some people don't like predestination. That's in the Scriptures. A lot of people don't like total depravity. But that's taught all throughout the Bible. And usually when you get to those scriptures of total depravity, especially the writers, especially the Apostle Paul, he writes a lot about himself. And he writes a lot about himself in a negative sense. And that's Paul being transparent. Here's my favorite. This is Romans chapter 7, verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That's pretty real, isn't it? A lot of people like to brag about themselves. A lot of people have their resume memorized. They tell you what all that they've done. Paul tells the things that he's done. A lot of it's not very good. You read in those verses above in the 24th verse, he's very, very transparent. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." That's pretty hard-hitting stuff. He's talking about himself. But I can read that scripture and say, "But that's me. I fit that." Paul said another scripture, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners." That's a good verse. But then he gets personal. "Of whom I am chief." My, my, my. He said, "I am less than the least of the brethren. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the house of God." He told of the things that he did in his address to Agrippa and to Felix. He said, "I put people to death. I forced people to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He didn't have a spin on it, why he did it. Mitigating circumstances, he just flat out said, "That's me, that's what I did." And then he back to the Romans 7, he reaches this catharsis. I can say big words too. He reaches this point. And he just has to stand back and say, I am a wretched man. You ever been sick during the day? You miss work. You're not too sick to sleep all day, but you're too sick to do anything else. So you turn on the TV and you watch daytime television. You know that's what they do in hell, is watch daytime television. I think they do. I think they stand in line and watch daytime TV. Man, I'd rather do anything than that. I turned on the show Phil Donahue. Y'all remember Phil Donahue? It's one of the worst shows ever. And I was so miserable that Phil Donahue made me feel better. That's really sick. I'm getting real. I'm being transparent now. But I'm glad I caught this show, because they were discussing the hymn Amazing Grace. And they had an old missionary Baptist preacher. And he gave a testimony on why he loved Amazing Grace. Phil Donahue said, well, I'll tell you why I don't like it. Because it said it saved a wretch like me, and I'm not a wretch. And that old preacher said, well, then that song is not for you. And grace must not be very amazing then. Well, amen and amen, brother. You know what? Grace is amazing because it saved vile, wretched, bankrupt sinners like us. Heard a brother say before services, I think it's Brother Caleb, heard a sermon on total depravity. You must have really messed up this week, Brother Caleb. Because you're going to hear another one tonight. What have you been doing? I think we need to send a committee to Brother Caleb and find out what he's been doing. What are you laughing at, Sister Amanda? You were there too? What are you laughing about? We didn't hear total depravity at Irwinville this morning. Brother Caleb, you need to be transparent now. Oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I can be, not that I have the potential to be, but that I am, and by implication, right now. And have been, and will be. But I'm a wretch. Oh, wretched man that I am. A good study that I've never done, but one of these days I will, Lord willing, is to study the 7 I am statements and the Gospel of John. The Lord Jesus Christ made 7 statements. He says, I am the vine, I am the door of the sheep, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, before those statements, you know, all those I am statements, I believe there's 7 of them. Be a good sermon one of these days, Lord willing. I am, before Abraham was, I am. Love that, right? When Moses stood before the burning bush and he was sent to Pharaoh, and he said, who shall I say sent me? The Lord said, you tell him I am sent you. Well, here's our I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. And I'm sorry, but that applies to all of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, from this dead, decaying, sinful flesh that I inhabit? Can I do it? I'm a wretched man. How can sin cleanse sin? How can I gain the mountain's heights? How can I rise above my depraved station? How can I inherit eternal life? Somebody has to come in and intercede and intervene. But that somebody has to be without sin. Because sin cannot inherit eternal righteousness. Something has to happen. And Paul answers the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's it. That's how you get saved. That's how you get out of depravity. That's how you get from depravity to glorification through Jesus Christ. It's not that you accepted Him. It's that He accepted you. And I love that song. What was there in you that could merit esteem or give the Creator delight? The Lord in election didn't look down and choose the ones He knew would accept Him. That's not an election. That's a skewed version of election. The Lord didn't look down and see who's going to live a good moral life and choose them. He chose vile, wretched sinners. And He saved those people. And they did nothing to merit eternal life. That's grace. That's amazing grace. You want to know how to make grace amazing? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Consider yourself. Think about the things that you've done. We've proved over and over our depraved nature. I've done things that I'm ashamed of doing, that I hope nobody knows, but God knows. I can hide it, but I can't hide it from the Lord. I know if I get to heaven, it's going to have to be through the finished work of Jesus Christ, by the unmerited favor of God, by His grace, or I'm done for. Amen. And if it weren't for grace, there's no one going to heaven. All of a sudden, we're all universalists. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's going to hell. There's some people who believe everybody's going to heaven. If it weren't for grace, everybody's going to hell. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then He makes this statement. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And there He's talking about the two natures that we are in this life. When we're born again, we have the Spirit of God within us. And Paul refers to that as the mind. And he said, and that born again, that regenerated mind, that heart, that inner man, that one knows the Lord. And it doesn't have to hear the gospel to know Him. It knows Him. They shall not teach every man in his neighbor, saying, know ye the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least to the greatest. Aren't you glad we don't have to get out there and get people into heaven? As I like to say, I would chain my boys on the front row. And we would be in church 24/7 until they got saved. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that, my friends. I'm glad He took care of the greatest problem I'll ever have. My sin debt's been paid. That's worth coming to church for. That's worth devoting your life. That's worth trying to do better. That's worth tempering your flesh and keeping your body under subjection. Because Paul said with the mind, that born again regenerated mind, I serve the Lord, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's the fight of faith. That's the struggle that we have. And you know what? I get tired of it. I get tired of it. And sometimes the flesh comes to me and says, aren't you tired of trying to do the right thing? Because it's so hard. It's so hard. You know, why you even go to church? What good is it doing? Why do you study? Nobody listens to you. Nobody cares. That's the devil talking. That's depravity talking. Why do you try to teach your children and they fight back
and they're ignorant, barbarian savages. That's my boys, not your kids, but that's mine. My kids are heathen barbarians. They're worthless. I need to go spank them right now. Now I know they've done something wrong. My oldest one's 28, and he still needs a spanking. And if you knew him, you'd say amen. I hope somebody send him a copy of this sermon. I want him to hear it. Nathan, I'm talking about you. I don't care if he gets mad at me. Big deal. What's he going to do? Divorce me? I'm his dad. Nothing he can do about it. Nothing he can do about it. I can't do anything about him being my boy. I can deny it, but he's still my son. What did I ever do to deserve him? I don't know, but I got him. And you know what? I love him. I love that boy. I love him. Sometimes it's hard to love him, but I love him. And he looks at me and says, "It's hard to love you." Sure, I get it. Now give me a hug. Am I being transparent? Maybe that's a little bit too transparent. But it's the way it is. It's the way it is. I get tired of my kids. I do. Brother David, well, it's true. I get tired of them crying, screaming, nagging, don't like what's fixed for supper, wants a hamburger, wants this, don't appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. Swine boys. But I love them. I love them. I kiss them. I don't care if they're boys. I'll kiss them. I tell them that I love them. And you know what? As much as I just griped about these boys, I've given my Heavenly Father worse grief. And He loves me anyway. So I want to serve Him. I'm a wretched man. But I know who delivered me. And it wasn't me. And it wasn't the preacher. It wasn't the gospel. It wasn't the articles of faith. It wasn't the London Confession. It wasn't some catechism. It wasn't anything that I've gone through. It was the grace of Almighty God. And when I realize that, I say, I can't serve Him enough. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I want to serve Him because He is worthy of praise. All right? Now, I used to say this. I used to say, I want to serve Him because He saved me. That's not the best reason to serve the Lord. You serve Him because He's worthy of praise. He's God. He's the Father. He's the Lord. He's the Creator. He's holy. No one can look at His face and live. When I see Him in glory, I'm going to fall on my face and worship Him. That's what I want to do right now. It's good to be in the Spirit, isn't it? John was on the island of Patmos being persecuted for preaching the gospel. But even on that lonely island, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he saw the Lord, didn't he? And do you know what he did when he saw Jesus Christ? He fell on his face. Here is a man that laid in his breast. But when he saw his risen Savior glorified, he didn't have one thought except going down to the ground and give Him reverence. Now, I want to serve the Lord better than I ever have. I want to preach better. I want to pray for my brethren so they'll preach better. I want to learn more about Him. I want to sing better. Off key, on key, whatever, I want to sing in the Spirit of God and give Him reverence. And I want to say, and I'll say this in all the reverence and thanksgiving, as that song, that at evening we can say, we have walked with God today. Chapter 8, verse 1. I just have a few more minutes. He says, there is therefore now
no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, it's important that we understand the 8th chapter of Romans, and it's important that if you're going to study the 8th chapter of Romans, that you start with verse 1 and understand the principles that the Apostle Paul is getting into. And it's important if you're going to study the 8th chapter of Romans that you know what he's talking about in the 7th chapter of Romans. And you know where I'm going with this. You're going to have to eventually go to the 1st chapter of Romans. Because here's what I like to say. When I was growing up in the Primitive Baptist Church, I thought there was the book of Romans and there was the book of Romans 8. I thought they were two separate books. Because all I ever heard was, I'm going to preach out of Romans 8. Oh, okay. Then I'm going to preach out of Romans. Well, that's a different book. See, I heard so much, I thought there were two books. But you know, Romans 8 is in the book of Romans. It's kind of in the middle of the book, isn't it? He's got a lot more after that. There's a lot going on before it. Good to start the first verse, work your way to it. But you don't want me to do that tonight. We don't have time. But we love the 8th chapter of Romans. We do, and we should. But he starts out by making what we call a positional statement, not a conditional statement. There's no conditions here. This statement is what we call position. And the reason I say that, this scripture is telling you where you are in relation in the family of God. It's not telling you how to get into the family of God. It's telling you how you got in the family of God. All right? It's telling you, first of all, to everyone that are in Christ, they are not condemned. And there is absolutely no condemnation to those people. And he said that these people, they walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Do you know why? These people, because they have the Spirit of God within them. It is not implied that they walk after the Spirit 24 hours a day, and if they slip up, then they are not in Christ. Because do you know how you got to be in Christ? Here's the boring part of the sermon. All right? It's amazing when I say that, everybody starts listening. Here's the boring part of the sermon. It's important to understand grammar. All right? English grammar. Now, a lot of people want to know the Greek. They want to know the Greek. What good is the Greek if you don't know the English? Right? And English is a tough language. I can speak a little Spanish. Because I've been taught it incidentally by working with a lot of Mexicans. They taught me Spanish. I can pretty much be a little bit conversational in Spanish. But trying to learn English when it's not your first language, it's tough. And it's important for us, especially ministers of the gospel, that they understand what the words mean and what the rules of grammar are. I'm saying it's important. You're exercising in the ministry. You better get this. You better get it. And I wish somebody had said this to me when I was exercising. Well, actually, they did. Bill Walden said it, and I didn't listen to him. Brother Conley, I mean, he knows what I'm saying. All right. This is what we call a prepositional phrase. Isn't that boring? In Christ is a prepositional phrase. But it's fantastic doctrine when you think about it. Because basically what he's saying, this we are prepositioned. We are placed in something, or within something, or among something, before anything ever happened. It is the establishment of the sentence. It is the focal point of the sentence.
This has to be true, or nothing in the sentence is true. It's establishing our position. What is our position in Christ? We are pre-positioned in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you're not condemned. And if you're in Christ, you're justified, you're sanctified, you will be glorified. All right? How do we get this positioning? What do we need to do to get in Christ? Nothing. Amen. Because there's nothing we could do. You know why? Because we're dead in trespasses and sins. That begs the next question. All right. If there's nothing we do to get in Christ, then how do we get to be in Christ? And when did we get in Christ? Glad you asked. Glad I asked. And this is found, you know where I'm going? Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I'm glad he said that, because that means this book is to all of us. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You've got two prepositional phrases. So those people that are in Christ are going to be blessed in heavenly places. And they're blessed. And they're blessed with all this thing. How do they get there? Verse 4, according as He had chosen us in Him. Get that? That's how you get to be in Christ. You're chosen in Christ. Begs another question. When were we chosen in Christ? Stay with the Scriptures. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Amen. That's it. That's what I believe. That's what Paul believes. That's doctrine. That's how you get to be in Christ. You're chosen in Christ. Those people chosen are predestinated before they ever lived. This was before the foundation of the world, to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not condemned. They're justified. They are declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are sanctified. They are made holy. They are set apart. And then those same people will be brought into glory and glorified and make like unto Jesus Christ. They are joint heirs with Him. They share everything. They will be with Him, world without end, forever and ever, in paradise above. Friends, we got a lot to look forward to. I wish he'd come right now. But all my days I'll wait until my change come. I'll wait. He's coming back. But my friends, there is therefore now, right now. Oh, wretched man that I am now, but there's therefore now to those same wretched people no condemnation because they're in Christ. What a blessed thing to know. And it's so true. It's true even if you don't even believe it. Amen. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Thank you.